You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, my next guest is an incredibly special person. It's someone I'm proud to call a friend, someone that I've known for many years. Her name is Kylie Black, and she is just the most wonderful, I was going to say adorable. I've got to be careful. She's got a boyfriend, a partner. I better not sound like this is suspicious, but no, she's just the most incredible woman who at the same time lives through a lot of adversity, and on top of that, though, lives a full life. And I wanted to bring her on to the show to talk about what her life is like and some of the amazing things she's doing. So, Kylie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Simon. Appreciate it. What an incredible honor.
Oh, no, it's great to have you here. I think last time we caught up was at one of the, is it like a disability show?
Disability Connect.
Yeah.
In Auckland. Transitions Expo.
You had the most amazing wheelchair. I mean, I know we're on radio, but it went from being a chair and you pushed a button and it basically stood you up. I mean, wow. Yep.
So it stands up in a seating position. So I stay seated in the chair and it lifts up to be a standing height.
Well, you probably don't remember this, but I do with your wheelchairs, not that time, but a few years prior when you were visiting in Parliament, the lifts in Parliament were so small and so unfriendly. But long and short, you have one of those big mobile wheelchairs and you ran over my foot.
I was waiting for this to come up, Simon.
I still haven't got over it.
No. My partner could have cheated for that. It was not. I do say that people that get feet ran over had their feet in the wrong place, but, you know.
That's exactly right.
No, well, I must say, but it's awful. I hate it.
Well, going off on a tangent really quickly, which I wasn't intending to do, boy, having you and a few others visiting us in Parliament, what an eye-opener to how inaccessible the building was. Just mad.
There were lots of rabbit warrens and roundabouts and long ways, right?
There was. So obviously, listeners, you're getting the hint that Kylie, amongst many things, is often in a wheelchair. So, Kylie, you've got a particular syndrome that, well, I don't think many people understand. So I just want to talk us through. I'm going to get it wrong. I always call it, well, the acronym's EDS, which is the way we try to avoid saying it, but it's Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, I think. But it's not well known. Talk us through what this syndrome is, how it affects your life.
No, you're right. It's not well known. It's more known now than it ever has been in history. And it's exciting for me seeing awareness grow more and more. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is a connective tissue disease. Connective tissue is your collagen. And collagen is the glue that holds our bodies together. So that is your bones, joints, ligaments, skin, blood vessels, internal organs. It's literally the glue that keeps our bodies together. And my glue is defective. So that means that it basically affects all of my joints, my skin, my internal organs. So I am a wheelchair user. A lot of my joints dislocate and my internal organs are impacted. I wasn't diagnosed until my early 20s. But I had been symptomatic since I was a young child, and it's got worse. It's progressed as I've got older. There's more challenges. EDS, as we call it, is the friend that keeps on giving its friends. You know, like it's not just one diagnosis. It's the umbrella that connects everything else together, and it causes symptoms and malfunctions in the body. That means your body can't work as well as other bodies do. I got a good analogy if you want.
Go for it. By the way, listeners, Kylie is incredibly young. I'm never going to ask a woman her age, nor would I on radio, but you've got to have in your mind an incredibly young woman who's been, if you will, fighting this condition. But give us the analogy.
So if you think of a rubber band, yeah? So you know those thick rubber bands, the really big ones that you used to hold like books and things together? Mm-hmm. So if you think of a rubber band like that, when you stretch it out, it stretches out. And when you let it go, it goes back into shape. But if you if you used it to hold a magazine, it would hold it tightly, you know. But a rubber band that is degrading, you know, when it's perishing, when you stretch it out, it doesn't stretch out anymore. And then when you let it go, it doesn't really go back in together. And if you tried to use a magazine to hold it, the magazine would push it open. It's not doing its job properly anymore. That's kind of like my body. Yeah.
Oh, it's a great analogy. I mean, look, we've talked about it before. I struggle to conceptualize. I mean, I see what's happening to you. Mm. I see others that I know, but I can't fully conceptualize it. But, you know, you have been a really strong voice, particularly through your social media, to try and explain to people what's happening. Mm. So as you say, it's the glue, this collagen. You said, like, if you don't mind me asking, what are some of the things which end up happening? You say you're easy to dislocate. So, I mean, probably means you've got to be careful moving about, but it must affect so many other aspects of your body and obviously your mind as well.
Yeah, yeah. It causes pain a lot. If you think of a dislocation, people are like, oh, but you dislocate all the time. It doesn't hurt that much, does it? And I'm like, no, it hurts. It hurts just as much. I put a lot of my joints back in. Some of them are called subluxations. So the joint pops out and then it goes back in again. So every time I take a step, because I can take some steps holding on to things or people, my hip will come out and my knee will come out. So it means that you have to navigate every aspect of your day. You know, there's something that EDS has taught me really well over the years, and that is to value what you have while you have the chance to use it and enjoy it. But it also makes me marvel at the incredible wonder and complexity of the human body. You don't think of, we don't think of how one small change or one small thing that doesn't work right has phenomenally cascading effects. And, like, you know, everything has to be in such perfect order for us to exist. And so, you know, even the ability to swallow. So my swallow is affected, my digestion is affected, my internal organs are affected, but even to the point that, you know how you got all your internal organs in your gut? They're held in place by a thing called fascia, and it's like this matrix that holds everything where it needs to be in space. And so for me, that's affected too. So when I stand up, or when I sit up, my organs are dropping into, like, they're collapsing. My organs are collapsing into my pelvis. And so I've had to have a lot of my bowel removed, my large bowel removed, and I have an ostomy and I have a feeding tube. One goes into my stomach. I can put some things into that, and then I can use it for drainage as well. So I can drain out if I've had something orally that's not digesting, then you can remove it from the stomach without vomiting it up all the time. And the other tube goes through my stomach and then down into my small intestine, and that's where I put my nutrition, so it bypasses my stomach. And then I have a central line, which is called a Hickman line. It's like a permanent IV, really. It's like a big permanent IV that's surgically placed into my chest, and that provides and helps me sustain my hydration status. Yeah. Yeah.
And so often, in my memory too, you basically have to continually carry a bag around. I remember you having issues trying to get through security because, like, you can't take bags in. It's like, she dies if she doesn't take this bag in, because that's where you're keeping a lot of your fluids and pharmaceuticals, isn't it?
Yeah. So I administer medications throughout the day. They're administered through a syringe into my small intestine or my stomach. And then I'm often, if I'm up and about and out and about, I usually have to be connected to the IV fluids, which allow me to. So if you think of, like, if you think of your body, right, and your veins, when you stand up, your veins constrict and they push the blood back up through your legs and up through your brain. And you've got little valves that I kind of see as like a little, like, I know, in cartoon, but I'm like, they go, you know, like they're closing behind themselves as it's pushing the blood up so that the blood doesn't come back down. With my veins being so stretchy, my body isn't able to constrict and push the blood back up and around. So I need more blood volume to stay conscious and for my gut to function. Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. it's called, one of those conditions that impacts it is called postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Yeah.
Ooh, so you just like saying that. No, you say it again. Say it again.
Postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Again, a lot of the time in the past, it has been not, it's not rare, but it's been more rarely diagnosed. And often girls have been left to suffer or cope, not understanding what's wrong or what's happening. So we are seeing more diagnoses taking place and more specialists out there. Not everyone will have to be on IV fluids, you know, like most people aren't. I spent 2 years in hospital battling crises in and out, unable to get a situation that allowed me to sustain myself at home without those medical interventions. So it's been a really long, long road over many years. Yeah. I was always told, we don't know what's wrong with your body. We just know it doesn't work properly. Having more and more diagnoses today is just, it's life-changing to have more understanding of what's going on and why, and then working out how to adjust your sails to navigate that.
I think it was your good self had shared a while back that actually getting the initial diagnosis was quite difficult. That seems to be experience of a lot of people with the Ehlers-Danlos. I mean, is that something that is getting better? I mean, or that was your experience as a particularly young woman trying to get the doctors to understand what was going on?
Even today, it's really difficult for young people especially to get a diagnosis. One of my specialists, I was his fifth patient with EDS. He's got over, I think, 1,000 or maybe even 1,500 patients in New Zealand with EDS now. A lot of people are battling, a lot of young people are battling really severe gastrointestinal issues because of the underlying Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It affects every person differently, completely differently. My brother was affected by it as well, also very differently. We, unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago now because of complications of vascular issues. Yeah. So it's very real.
You've had a tough ride, exceptionally tough ride. One of the most striking things, though, is if I might, it's twofold. And if you are comfortable to talk to them, one is you share the pain. This is through social media. You share the realness of this. And I'd be interested to know why you're drawn to that. But the other is you're so upbeat. For someone whose body is, my word here, imploding, everything's falling apart, and yet you still you have the most, again, it's radio, but you have the most amazing smile. You're outgoing. You're full of beans. How can that be?
I've been through a lot in my life, Simon. I was a young caregiver for my dad as a child when he had a brain tumour and head injury and epilepsy. I've been through a lot of struggles and overcome a number of abuses in my life as a young person outside of the family. And I've had to battle. I had to battle my way for who I was and how I fit in, and for my mental health. And I got sick. I was found myself in a really serious situation at 22. I'd lost full use of my left hand side, and I couldn't use my legs. And you know, like, I'd fought so hard to get to that point in life, only to be hit with another set of challenges. You know, I've struggled, faced health challenges my whole life. It's no different. They didn't know how to connect the dots. They knew there were dots to connect. They just didn't know how to do it. And they've often said, we just need medical science. We just need medical technology to catch up with us. And that's been true, but it's led me to be on the edge of that pioneering side of things the whole way through. But look, the reality is it hit me clear as day pretty early on. We get one life, one chance. I don't get to choose my circumstances. I don't get to choose the reality I'm living in. The only thing I can do is choose how to play it. And when I found myself bedbound, homebound, in a bed, not being able to move, screaming pain at 22, and the years resulting from that, I managed to get myself back into flatting opportunity, only to hit more obstacles and longer hospital admissions and I looked at that point, I'm like, you know what? Like, this life isn't a dress rehearsal, mate. Like, time's not going to stop for me. I don't get to choose how to do what I'm dealing with, but I get to choose how to navigate it. And I don't also want to be miserable through that completely either. I think the reality is, right, the flip side of that is that I don't get to choose my, I don't get to choose the fact I have this condition or how it affects me. But I do get to choose how I respond to it. And I've only got one life. I've only got one shot. And so I've got to make the best of that, because the reality is that I can get bitter and twisted and resentful and caught up and snap and be grumpy and be angry. And by the way, I do get snappy and grumpy and angry. let's be honest. We're honest.
Don't we all? But you've got lots of reasons to be, but you're clearly choosing not to be most of the time.
Well, but you can walk away from me. My friends can walk away from me. My partner can walk away from me. I can't walk away from myself. So at the end of the day, the only person I hurt is me. The only person affected by that path is me. And also, call me selfish, but that doesn't allow me to live fully in the small pockets of moments that I do get to live in. And I was determined that I didn't want it to steal more than I had any control or capacity for it to steal. I think my biggest battle, I really struggle to see myself as sick and see myself in the reality that I'm living in. So I'm moved by a lot of people's situations around me, and to do a lot for people around me where I can. But more often than not, about every 6 months or 6 weeks will whack me in the face. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm really sick. Like, you know, like, or I'm connected to all these things and that's really intense. And Mike's like, yeah, you are. Like, cause I don't see it and I struggle to see it. The reality is if I look at myself and my reality, I drown, and I drown real fast. However, if I can look outside of my world to see the worlds around me, to see what I do have and not what I don't, to see what I can do and not what I can't, then I put myself back in the driver's seat again. And something that changed, I'm talking so much right now.
No, this is amazing. For all you go through, the strength you're demonstrating, so please, you just keep going.
I asked myself a question early on in my journey, like real early on, like that first month early on, laying in bed, and I was like, cripes, like, to find myself, like, I've gone from being independent to having to be dependent on my mum and have help with everything. It's really hard and embarrassing, you know, for a young person, it's really hard to grapple with. But I was like, I knew that if I was not going to fall into a deep hole of depression, if I fell into a deeper hole of depression, it was going to make the fight 10 times harder, because it's like standing on the side of a sand dune, right? You can stand on the side of a sand dune and be safe, but you can be on the side of that sand dune and it caves out at any moment, and you're at the bottom of that sand dune before you even know it. So that fight back up that sand dune is 10 times the energy. So how many gates could I put between, like, say a beach, and then it goes down to harder sand, and then goes back to like the grassy stuff, and it goes back to the ground, and it goes back to a car park? I was like, how do I put a fence between danger zone where I don't have the control to navigate that anymore and being really dangerous mental health spaces, and fences between me and that space, so that I purposely had to check through fences before I was in a place that I couldn't hold or handle anymore. And so one of the things that changed my whole life, and I love speaking about it and I love the honor to speak about it today, is I asked myself a question. I said, what is in my hands right now? What can I do with what is in my hand? Because literally my hand is the only thing I had. And I looked around me and I went, well, I can move my right hand. I have a laptop and access to the internet. I can see the sky, can see the lake, and like I can see the sun. Like those were my five things. Those became the landmark things I held on to every day that started as a gratitude list. And so what can I do with my hand in the internet? What can I do not being able to move that can help me out of my situation? Because I can't change my situational circumstance. But can I do something to change it for someone else? Because I don't have control in my situation, but maybe there's something else I can do for someone else that helps their world. And I went, I have time. I can encourage people. I can write. It doesn't cost me anything to send a friend a note to go, hey, I'm thinking about you, or hey, how are you doing? Or to write on someone's blog who's updating their journey and be a friend. And that's where it started. And then set up Spirit Spark Plugs, Spark Plugs to spark the spirit. And we put, I was retraining my left-hand side, and we started sending out packages to others who were homebound and bedbound and hospital-bound around the world, because you don't realise how many young people are in those situations because you don't, the world doesn't see it. Yeah, so it started there, and that question has become the one thing I can go back to in any situation, circumstance I find, no matter what, I can go, what can I do in this moment? What's in my hands? I maybe need to watch a movie and be intentional for self-care. Or maybe I can message someone else, or maybe I can be a friend, or maybe what can I, whatever it is. And like, I was writing a journal one day and I wrote online, one step at a time, and soon enough, when you look back, those steps turn into miles and you've come further than you ever thought. And
do you have people alongside you at that moment? Or is a lot of this being obviously family in that, but I mean, is this something that you've, in a sense, had inside yourself and learnt and taught, or has there been further support? Which your mother?
My mother is a backbone, mate. Like, I wouldn't have got through any of it without her and her coaching. I think that we all need community, right? I stand in the gratitude, immense gratitude today that I get to look back and see how each one of those steps has led me to where I am today. A girl that's lived most of her life in a bed or being reclined, and the things I get to do and the influence I get to have today, I pinch myself every single day.
Well, that's where I want to get to, because I think people need to know about the businesses you're running. But if I might, see, one of the, it's an observation, Kylie, amongst others of the quality that you bring is, you know, and I hope listeners can hear this. This is a woman who's had one hell of a life. Since my radio show, I can slightly swear, you've had a hell of a life, and yet you bring a joy, you draw people to you, and despite everything you are going through, Kylie, I'm just struck how you are thinking almost constantly of others. I think it's remarkable. But speaking of others, does it, I'm not sure how to phrase this exactly, because as you say, you're a girl, young woman, whoops.
I'm not so young anymore, Simon.
Look, you're young compared to me, and it'd be a very dangerous place for me to speak on age. But does society or individuals at times not help that they don't see Kylie, they see person in wheelchair or person in distress? Has that been a problem or a frustration to you? People just define you by what they, if you will, physically see rather than seeing the soul within?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was not the same outspoken person that I am today talking to anyone on the street when I started in my journey. I've always been friendly and outgoing, but I started going out in the wheelchair, and I really struggled to start with. Not that I was in a chair that didn't support me to start with anyway, but it was hard, and people would stare. I don't notice it at all anymore, but like people would stare and, oh, I do notice this part, but people would stare, but I'd look at them and smile and they'd continue staring at you, but they wouldn't smile back. Like, I'm like, that's a bit like, what? Like, it was a bit confronting. And then, so I thought, I started pulling back, and then I went, you know what, blow it. Like, I'm not afraid or ashamed of me or my situation, and I'd worked in disability and lived in disability my entire life, and so I was just like, nah, I'm not going to let this go. So I started saying hello to anyone and everyone. And yeah, hi, how are you? You know, just to throw people back, because then they're like, oh my gosh, like, she can talk. Well, yeah, I can. Like, you know, it boggles my mind to say that, because I'm like, it seems so prehistoric, but it is something that people still navigate. Honestly, the hardest thing is parents who shush their kids away from me is probably the most painful, challenging.
Really? They're still doing thing. That?
Yeah. And I would say to parents, like, most people understanding of kids and will answer any kids' questions. And kids are curious. They're not being judgmental or nosy. They genuinely want to understand. So when you let them come up and ask the questions, or you go, sorry, like, are you okay? Like, doing a little, like, language behind the scenes of the child, you know, with you. Like, if I'm like, it's cool, it's fine. When people pull, oh, don't look at that, or don't say that, or pull them away, makes you feel like there's something wrong with you, and there's not. Even my feeding tubes or my lines, like, I'm quite happy to answer questions.
Push back on this, because I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not living your life, but I've often wondered, when I've done my work and engagement in the disability sector or with friends who have disabilities, that society at large is afraid. They look at someone with a disability and they fear that they could become that, so they don't want to confront it. Is that sort of your sense, or have I got that completely wrong?
I don't know that I have the understanding to answer that completely. But I think the reality is that we're all temporarily able-bodied, let's be honest. You know, like, we're all going to face struggles and trials, and I think that's a lot of what my messaging is around, I hope, is that we all face struggles and trials, and then it's what we do with it that counts. My life challenges are hard, and I live on the brink and a line of, I walk on a very tight rope and a line of, and I've come way too close to that line of not being here. And I've got so many friends, you know, like, I am in my 30s now and I'm still young, but actually I kind of consider myself one of the older ones now. And I'm still here. A lot of my friends aren't. Not all of my friends have access to care and treatment. And so I come back to, what, again, can I do with what's in my hands, and how do we educate and empower and understand? And that's in the medical system as well, you know, like, I speak with nurses and doctors and do training and speaking and things, and, like, what can we do with what's in our hand in any given moment? Like, I've lived it on the other side. But just that everyday life gift is a blessing, but we all struggle, we all have trials. We all confront things in different ways. It's just different. Sometimes I think, I'm going to flip it on its head for a moment, okay? Quite like
you,
flipping the script.
You
quite
go
like
for it.
Flipping the script.
I can see that. What's going on here? Hold on. No, go for it.
Yeah,
go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes I see myself as not just one of the lucky ones within my health condition, or anything like that. Sometimes I do consider myself really lucky in life, because I know what it's like to lose things. I know what it's like to lose them over and again. I've lost use of my left hand side 3 times now due to severe nerve injuries, and the ability to eat orally, or you know, have my gut working properly and battling pain. But having known that I live so much more alive, awake, because I find that I can't let myself get caught up so much in the smaller little things, because, I don't know when a last moment will be, and so I'm more open and aware to living my moments how I want to, which becomes a grapple zone, because I want to be able to do more than I can. And I sometimes feel trapped inside of myself and I can't get out of myself, because inside I am happy. And my happy, normal, fun, bubbly Kylie, but it's not translating. The outside translation is frustrated, overwhelmed, and unable to communicate and articulate how I am inside, because I'm still my normal person, but my body in that moment is struggling. But I don't, you know, people look and they're like, oh, it's a tragedy to live your life or like whatever. But I'm like, I don't think anyone could actually say that I don't live a whole full life, whether that's from a hospital bed or the couch or like through my phone. I think it's an incredible honor that I've been able to create a really full life around my limitations and struggles. And I'm always busy and I'm always doing things and I've always got something to do and I'm always involved in projects and I love getting behind people and I love connecting people and I love like coming alongside others who are stuck in their struggles. Cause like, did you know you can run a business and set up a website on a phone on the couch and not even be able to use a computer?
Well, this is where we should segue, actually, because you've set up businesses. This is the other remarkable thing. You've not been sorry for yourself. To a degree, you've understood what's happened to you and that you're saying, look, I'm just going to be me and push through this. And part of that pushing through is you've set up businesses. So, yeah, tell us about these businesses. Tell us why it's serving people. Tell us about Spirit Plugs. Have I got that right?
Spirit Spark Plugs.
I don't know why I'm getting tongue twisted.
Yeah. Well, the Spirit Spark Plugs is now the brand for Kylie & Co. So we segued Spirit Spark Plugs and remade it the brand of Kylie & Co. So Kylie & Co, I'll start there, is a platform for all things accessible that shows what's out there and what you can do and how many cool things and adaptions there are to continue living the life you want to live, how you want to live it. And shows that accessible can be fun and funky and functional and fashionable.
I see what you did there.
I like my flaws. I like my flawed light things. I stand by four values for anything that I commit myself to or invest my time in, and that is, does it encourage, empower, educate, and equip?
Take us through those again. I did catch them to empower,
encourage, educate, and equip.
That's quite powerful in and of itself. So talk us through some, because for people to conceptualize, I've seen some of your products. Obviously, people can jump online, but again, we're on radio. But talk us through some of these accessible items which you're providing to people, which, as you say, some of them are just fun and fabulous. Others are just so practical.
And the coolest thing is people come along and they're like, oh, I don't need that stuff. I'm like, I'm not old enough for that yet. And they're like in their 80s. And I'm like, cool, well, I am. And I'm like in my 30s, you know. But I think it's showing people go, you know, mums will come along or like nanas or kids. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I would use that. And I'm like, yeah, that's the point. Accessible works for everyone. Good design works. Accessible works for all people all the time, as opposed to some of the people some of the time.
So what's a couple of examples? I vaguely remember you had something like for glasses, or I'm trying to, there's too glasses. Many in my mind all of a sudden.
We had the glasses buttons through COVID, and they were our first product that really kickstarted us. And so you could put your mask over the buttons on your side of your glasses as opposed to behind your ears, which really helped with hearing aids and not losing them all the time. We've got soda can tab openers. We've got can ring pull tabs. We've got medication blister pack openers. We've got like travel medication things. We've got cup holders for the wheelchair rain jackets. We have things, kitchen, dining, lounge, bedroom, things to help you make the bed. Basically, across all categories, there are 1,500 products on the website.
I might need to buy the how to make a bed for my stepchildren.
But we have a whole lot of things for raising awareness and breaking down barriers and talking about mental health and talking about disability and about communication or different ways of communicating. And normalizing needing supports, normalizing needing community. Because, okay, I'm going to segue for a moment. Here's like a bombshell moment, okay? So we talk about, I call my team the crew, because I don't like the term support worker or caregiver because they instantly put you over me or make you a hero in my life or me the passive receiver. The thing is that you don't start your day and live your life completely independently. You don't milk your own cows, foster your own fuel. You don't raise your kids independently, completely on your own. You rely on community. Your friendships aren't a direct one-to-one exchange of this support to this support need meets this. You bring who you are, they bring who they are, and together, collectively, we support one another as community. And so I call my team the crew because I am a part of my crew, and I've got things that I bring that some of my able-bodied friends and community don't have. And so it just it stops the community and disabled people conversation because it's actually it values me as I am, how I am, no matter my limitations or inadequacies, because we all have them and we all need each other. And I think we fight for the wrong thing. And I'm just going to like go on a spiel quickly here.
You go for it.
Because it's really cool to have a platform to share this stuff. And it's just like, it's to burn so close to my heart. We've got this fight for independence, right? We vehemently, like, rely on independence. I'm independent. I can do that independently. But independence also equals isolation, disconnection, and alone, right? I wonder if what we need to fight for is interdependence, because interdependence is community.
Mm-hmm.
And it equals every person as a part of that, as they are, fully how they are, and values all of that, full stop. So I love the idea that I get to live an interdependent life filled with community. And so that's why I'm like, sometimes I think I am lucky because I get to do life with really cool people. I'm really lucky to be on the Enabling Good Lives trial in the Waikato that changed things for us. And I'm keen to see that roll out because everyone deserves a chance to live their best lives, you know, and have the support to live your life how you want, when you want. So that segues back into Kylie and Co. That's kind of a bit of the platform that we have built Kylie and Co. on, and in the background with the support of Mike's business, which is Clipboard, which they kind of go hand in hand. And then we've got different projects we're involved in and different things that we feed our time into. And I've got my Kylie Black public speaker brand where I do my public speaking from, and I'll work on the things on education and feeding in my voice and experience and speaking up on important issues like how we spoke up on, did the work on the, the bill and that kind of thing as well. So I think,
you're remarkable. I mean, look, all the things you lifted off, you made most of us sound lazy. I mean, you are juggling so many things at once. But, you know, reflecting back some of the things you've said to me just now, you're someone who does see others. In a sense, your life and condition has meant you are engaging, sometimes relying on others, but also empowering others. You get to see them. So I'm always amazed, Kylie, when people want to be completely independent. Personally, I don't think you can be. And second, I think if those who feel they are probably just ignoring people around them who actually make their lives what they are. But I just still can't get away, and I'm just hoping listeners can understand this, that all the things you're going through, and yet what a joy, a verve, an energy, an elan, just to use four things for you there, that you're bringing to all you're doing, including those, is it Clipboard? And I can still not get my, well, Kylie and Co. I'm not going to get the spirit plugs again.
No,
I mean,
don't
remarkable.
Look, the thing is, I spend a lot of nights up in pain. I spend a lot of nights up vomiting. A lot of my life is reclined. When I sit, even I'm reclined speaking with you now, but my legs are up tight, my elbows are in my legs, and then so my shoulders are supported, my wrists are held together, and then I've got my wrist on my chin, helping hold my chin in. But when, you know, like, you can put a movie on to distract yourself, but your brain still thinks, I'm in pain, I don't feel well, this is unfair, I feel sick, it's too much, I can't do this, I want to give up, I want out, it's too hard, it's too, all of that stuff, you know, like... And I'm not immune to that at all. I'm genuinely not immune to it. But lying on the bathroom floor at night, or lying in bed in pain, or being stuck in hospital, I can't just watch a movie and tune out because I can't stop my brain. And actually the coolest thing is that when I was trying to find products for myself that I couldn't get in New Zealand, and managed to make connections overseas through a whole like line of communication. And someone came to me like, oh my gosh, I've been trying to find something like that for 20 years. Where did you get that? And I was like, oh, duh, duh, duh. Then they just looked at me, glazed eyes over, cross-eyed, and go, can you just get me one in? I'm like, sure, you know. I got the glasses buttons. I thought I needed them at the time. And I thought, I'll get 6 pairs in. Because no doubt, it worked out cheaper to get more than less, you know. And I thought some of my friends might want them. And one pair was really expensive, but you get a few more and then sell them off, you know, for cost, and it made it a lot cheaper. Well, I put them online. No, I had 20 pairs I bought in to start with, sorry. 20 minutes, all 20 pairs had sold out. I went, huh. And then there was a whole line of people lining up going, oh, I want some too. So I bought 300 in. Sold those. And then my partner said to me, he's like, get 1,000. I thought he was nuts. He's done business a long time, right? And I was just like, and it was big numbers for me. I don't have that kind of money. Like, I didn't have the ability to do it, but we used the money that we'd sold the buttons for at that point and bought them. And that's part of the seed of what started Kylie & Co. And because people started coming to me, I'd started picking things up that I found that I liked, and getting them in for myself, and then getting a couple in because I'm like, oh, other people want them too. And was doing it all through a marketplace. And I was like, oh, this is getting a lot bigger. And I had more and more people going, Kylie, you're really good at finding products or ideas or thinking out of the box. Is there any chance you could help me find a solution for this or that or X, Y, Z? And that's where it started. And my partner's mum, also a phenomenal woman with huge background in business as well, and runs, you know, makes the most amazing quilts and the most amazing crafted items. And she is not able to do the markets. And she's like, well, I got a whole bunch of stuff. Why don't I give it to you and you do the markets? Because you love connecting with people. I can't craft anymore. I can't do things physically, but I can sit there and connect with people. And I had a, you know, I was pretty well known at that point in some places. And she's like, I think it'd be a great opportunity for you. And she was like, you have to call it Kylie & Co. Because she said, people don't get behind a business, they get behind a person before they get behind a business. And she said, because I had a dream to, how do you know what's out there if you don't know it exists? You know? And there's just no connection for so many people in business and disabled business owners. And so, yeah, we started Disabled Business Owners New Zealand, and that's got like 500 people in that Facebook group now. But it's just connection and community, and like alone you get so far, but together you get so much further, and we're stronger together. And yeah, so that's where Kylie & Co. started, and support of them and my partner helping me with the IT and getting the back end, and I get to focus on finding the products and connecting with people and write the descriptions and take the photos, and it fills my life.
Well, I hope you just appreciate. I just hope you appreciate how remarkable you and your crew, got to use the right terms, but you and your crew are. You know, for all the adversities you face, I'm just in awe of how you've pulled that together and created something amazing out of that. You know, not only your own business.
Having to rely on people and connect with people because it's all you got.
It is wonderful, wonderful. Kylie, I'm going to have to wrap it up there. But look, thank you so much for coming on and sharing you.
Thank you.
Sharing who Kylie, well, a little bit actually, only a little bit. We could talk for hours and hours. But perhaps.
Can I last thing with you?
You go for it. Just remember, we're on live radio.
One last thing. One quick thing is that we're now working with other disabled people and people or OTs and people who have designed products, and we're now working with them to put their products on our Kylie & Co. and the platform as well, so that you can find everything in one place. There you go.
But again, doesn't that sum you up? You are not simply pursuing your own business interests. You are using your life, your platform, your business to help and serve others. I think it's remarkable. Well, I'd love to have you on again. And if I'm not being imprudent, if you know, listeners have thoughts or questions they want to put to Kylie, would you be happy to come?
I would absolutely love it. And there's a huge space for awareness in this space, and in so many stories of people navigating these spaces as well. So, yeah.
You're a wonderful woman. I'm just so grateful that you accepted the invitation. I will say thank you and goodbye for now, but look forward to having you back on the show, Kylie.
Thank you. Bless you guys.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.